All right, Dr. Staka, so let's visit a little bit from a veterinarian standpoint. A, what reminders do you have for those producers as they prepare for pasture? And B, what does it mean with some of the variable conditions that we've had around the state?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors in this whole thing. And I'm always reminded that those of us in this business don't have so many hours in the day and we can only manage so many things at once. But if you really think about it, all the things that are involved in putting cattle to pasture, like pairs, for example, there's people management, there's grass management, which is really important, and there's cattle management. And so all of those things, you're rolling around in your head as to how do I manage best all of those areas. And sometimes you don't think you're doing the best job at one or the other, but that's the big equation. So when it comes to cattle, in maybe some respects, that's the easiest part. So hopefully by now, and there may be still some guys that are calving out cows, but I think for the most part, you're getting to the end of it, even for late calvers now. So the cattle should be healthy at this point, unless there have been some severe issues going on early on that have translated in some health issues. What you don't want to do is necessarily put cattle to pasture that are having an outbreak of something, like pneumonia or even coccidiosis. But I would say that sometimes that's part of the solution, too. Part of the solution to many animal health issues is getting more space between animals so you have less transmission of some of these pathogens from one to another. But putting them out to pasture, if you're in the middle of an outbreak, creates a problem, too, because now it's more difficult to find them and more difficult to treat. But for many on the animal health side, the discussion centers around, well, what do I do with these calves? And in North Dakota, for the most part, most calves get castrated at a very young age, which is the right time. Calves may or may not be implanted. And then they usually receive some sort of vaccination program, and that can include many different vaccines. But I like to think about things in a simple sense. Keep it simple, keep it short, use only those things that you absolutely know that reduces the risk of that calf getting sick or dying from some disease. And so a lot of times it ends up being, for example, a 7-way blackleg vaccine and some type of respiratory viral vaccine. I mean, it can be that simple. And I think a young calf, while young calves can respond and build an immune response to a lot of different things, don't give those young calves too many things at once, especially if you're moving them at the same time. And just kind of keep it simple, keep it short. Make sure that you have consulted with your veterinarian about what you should use and when to use it and so on and so forth, and follow label directions for these vaccines. So I still think it's probably the easiest part of managing people and pastures and cattle. I think cattle is probably the easiest part, but still, There's a thought process that goes in when you use your veterinarian in that discussion. It sure makes it a little simpler and a little easier, and take pressure off you for having to try and make some of those decisions all by yourself.
And so when we think about pasture season, we start hearing things like pink eye, foot rot, especially this year, even anthrax. So what precautionary measures do we need to be taking in that sense?
Yeah, each one of those are different, and they require different management. I think the most frustrating one for me is still pink eye and foot rot. Anthrax is the decision. Anthrax vaccines seem to be very effective, so they fit in my philosophy of vaccinations. Where it doesn't fit is if the risk is really low. So we have risk areas in North Dakota that seem to have anthrax cases, and those herds will be vaccinated for anthrax, and that's a good thing because anthrax, or the vaccine, reduces the risk greatly from developing anthrax. Pink eye and foot rot are a different deal in that vaccines are questionable at best in terms of efficacy. And one dose of a vaccine for either pink eye or foot rot vaccine probably doesn't do you a whole lot of good. It does start you on the path, though, so if you have the chance to give a second dose, that at least would greatly enhance the antibody response or the immune response to that vaccine. So that can help. So if, let's say I give one dose to a group of cows or calves, whatever the case might be, and I experience a foot rot outbreak, we'll say, going in there and treating the animals that need to be treated, plus vaccinating the rest of the group, that first dose did you a whole lot of good, because now it's not the first dose that you're giving them during the outbreak, it's actually the second dose. So that makes some sense. And pink eye tends to be the same way. I think identifying why foot rot and pink eye happens is important, and we can't always, it's not always obvious, but areas around the water tank where cattle congregate, when the weather is hot and humid and they're fighting flies, those things tend to increase the risk of getting infected with those organisms. And so, you know, having more waterers, moving cattle more often can help somewhat in foot rot. Making sure cattle, when it's hot and humid and they're under shade, maybe there's something you can do to force cattle out from that congregating area and spread them out a little more. That can help as well, because it's a tough deal when you get cattle too tight together, they're hot. This especially relates to pink eye. And they rubbing faces on each other, and now I got some of these organisms being spread to susceptible animals, and we run into situations with a pink eye outbreak. And that's kind of what goes on. And of course, fly control is always important in pink eye. It's part of the risk reduction management that you have to undertake. And if you haven't done anything for flies, maybe you're out there with spraying cattle, which is not easy as well. You got to have a place to do it, and because they won't appreciate what you're trying to do, or some type of fly control. Maybe it's a feed through mineral, larvicidal product. Maybe you put fly tags in when the fly pressure is high. Sometimes we put fly tags in too early when the fly pressure isn't there, and then you end up, perhaps wasting some of that flyicide or larvicide or pesticide product too early, because it's kind of somewhat used, and because you put it in there too quickly. So lots of things to think about with cattle management, but also pasture management too. It makes a difference in trying to reduce the risk of some of these diseases.
And I guess one final thought I had when it comes to this time of year, Dr. Stocka, is of course the males of the herd, the bulls, they're either out doing their work, or producers are, preparing to turn them out to pasture. So what do we need to keep in mind when it comes to bull health and making sure they're doing okay?
Yeah, that's a challenge on a pasture, but at least make sure that you've had your bull semen tested. Take it to a veterinarian, have them semen tested, make sure that at least there's, I use this analogy, Megan, make sure there's seed in the drill. When you're planting crops, you're pretty confident that you've got seed that's in your seeder, and it's the same with the bull. Unless you've got seed in the bull, why, you're not going to have too many calves. And so that's an important component. But the other thing to remember, that the semen evaluation doesn't tell you everything. It doesn't tell you whether the bull is actually going to do what he's supposed to do. And so this takes someone with some time to go out and make sure bulls are actually mounting and doing the appropriate behavior to get cows bred. And sometimes we can slip up on that and just assume that we're seeing them from a half a mile away. It looks like things are happening, but unless you're right there, things may not be happening. And then maybe the bull gets injured pretty quickly during the breeding season. He gets an injured foot, or he gets foot rot or something, and all of a sudden, as much as he'd like to breed cows, he can't because there's too much pain involved. So you can't ignore them once they go to grass. Even though they're kind of out of your hair and out of sight and out of mind sometimes, you have to make sure that you're viewing them periodically, pretty regular basis, to avoid some of these things that can happen while in pasture.